I want to thank everybody for coming today. Thank you for being a part of our worship this morning. What a beautiful honor it is to come and worship our God, and it's even more of an honor for you to be here and us to be together. Nothing like that. This is a praying church, and God answers the prayers of this church, and I thank Him for that. We just want to give Him praise for all that He does for us, things we know and things we don't know. And He's just a God that answers prayer. And I'm glad of that. I'm glad that when we pray, it just doesn't go to a wood figure or just don't go to the ceiling. It's real. And it touches a God that's able to do something about it. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. When you've gone your last mile of the way and you call on Him, He's more than able. The Bible says to do exceedingly above, beyond what you think or even ask. And we just, Grayson, we love you, and our prayers are with you. And you're going to do great things, and God's going to pave the way for you. And we thank God for that. And I'm so glad that I've had a part of being able to be a part of a church that's able to send people out like that and know they're covered with prayer. Isn't that great? Amen. Thank God for that whole family there. We had a young lady with a good report this week, too. Amen. God gave her a good report this week, and we just thankful for that. He's just beyond words what God can do for us. And I want to say, as we begin this message today, the Lord has, Brother George began to preach my message this morning. It kind of works that way sometimes. Talking about grace, I want to talk about the cost of grace. The cost of grace. This is something the Lord's been dealing me about for several weeks now, and I want to say I thank God for a God that speaks to us. You know, I take it a privilege to come here every Sunday and share the word with you. And I want to tell you thank you, because I know there's me and other things you could do, me and other place you could be. But you take time to come and sit down and listen to the word. And I appreciate that, and I don't take it for granted. And I always pray, God, give me something that's worthy of their time. I want you to be able to take something back with you and say, you know, I'm glad I went today. Even though I didn't want to go, I didn't feel like being here, but I'm glad I went. And I ask God to feed us, because He feeds us every day. We have to have manna every single day. And so God's a God that will at times let you insight His heart a little bit. God loves us beyond even words can be even say. And we've heard that so much, it really don't mean a lot, but His love is deep. And when I begin to think about all that God has done for us, it almost makes you want to hit your knees and just give Him thanks, giving Him praise for the sacrifice that He's done for us. And the Lord just began to deal with my heart this week and last week. And He began to say, I know the struggles of my people. I know you're struggling. God knows your struggle. And our struggles can vary in a lot of different ways. And I'm so glad that I serve a God that is touched in every area that I struggle with. God understands that when we were born in this world, the Bible says we've all sinned. So what that means is we came into a world that was already cursed. When Adam and Eve did their thing in the garden, you love old Adam, you know, old Adam's typical man. That woman you gave me, that's what the Bible says, is that a woman you gave me caused all this. And he knew what would happen if he didn't do what she said. Amen. So the man went altogether crazy. But what happened was is that it just created a world that was cursed. See, we don't really value that, because we don't really understand that, because we've been so blessed in America. I see others, people that are coming to America because it's the land that's free, a land that's of opportunity. And I begin to think about God, and He began to speak my heart, and He says, I know your struggles. I know when you're laying in bed at night and nobody knows your hidden things in your heart that hurt, that you're hurting, and you're scared, and you don't know really what to do about the situation, that at many times you feel overwhelmed and you find yourself even waking up at night from a deep sleep because your mind is just rolling and rolling and you just say, Lord, I'm struggling. God brings me here today and I feel His presence in a deep way today. He brings me here today to let you know that He knows that you're struggling. One of the ways that we struggle really deeply is if we're right with God. Lord, where do I stand with you? Because there's a constant battle from the enemy to always demean our relationship with God. Because you got to understand that He's very jealous of our relationship with God, because at one time He had a relationship with God, talking about the enemy, and He forfeited that and fell from heaven. And so ever since then, it's been a goal of His to disrupt your and my relationship with God. And so He's done it in many different ways, and there's no temptation taken unto man. In other words, what the Bible's talking about is no weapon that the enemy's ever used against God has worked, but yet it is a weapon. And the problem of it is he wants to distort your mind when it comes to God. God's not a big God up there with a baseball bat, and every time you make a mistake, buddy, he's ready to beat you down because you're just not good enough to serve him. That's the biggest lie that the enemy's ever told, is that we are not good enough. Because the answer to that is, yeah, we're not. None of us are. We were born in a corrupted state. We were born totally different than what God intended us to be. Garden of Eden was a beautiful place, and one day we're going to go to a place called heaven. And we're going to enjoy the presence of God. And it is real. I want you to know heaven is real. I've stood beside a lot of dying people. And I've seen them step over in the glory. And I've seen the whole change. So I know it's real. Amen. I know it's real. But we struggle. Is there a God? Some days we just know there's a God. And then some days we just, yeah, but I don't know if he's real today. And God knows that. And one of the biggest ways we've struggled is, are we right enough? Are we righteous enough? And I love the Word of God because it's so real, because the same things they thought of in their day, we think today. So God had a man by the name of Paul. Who Paul had, and I got a lot of scriptures to read to you, so I'm just going to let God lead me, and we'll just go on with this thing. I know there's no way I'll finish it today, but we'll finish it when God says finish it. But the main thing is, I want you to get this. I want you to get what God is saying today. God's a God that understands your struggle. Paul was a man who was confused. He was a man who wrote most of the New Testament. But Paul was a very serious man. He wasn't a man that just run the roads and just killing people just because he wanted to. Paul believed in religion. Religion will kill you. Religion will kill you because it has no fruit to it. And that's where people battle today. And from the beginning of time, there's always been a battle of relationship versus religion. Well, did I pray enough? Have I read the Bible enough? Oh, I forgot to read the Bible today. I'm just no good person. I didn't do what I said I was going to do. I'm just really, really not any good at all. God can't use anybody. So we battle with that, and it becomes a struggle, because what we find is when we go through hard times in life, we realize that we need somebody bigger than we are. We realize we need God, but then we got to battle with that human element that we're not good enough to call on. Man, I had a bad day yesterday and blah, blah, blah. You know how that goes. And then the day you see you need God and you feel like, I don't really know I can pray because I really didn't do good yesterday. I kind of messed up. And so, you know, I just didn't. I mean, how can I call on God today when I had such a bad day yesterday? And I'm so glad that God doesn't measure us day by day. I'm so glad that God loves us, for whosoever will call on his name You shall be saved. And the Bible talks about that he never leaves us nor forsakes us. You hear me say that a lot. But when it comes to grace, you've heard a lot about grace. See, the enemy has always tried to distort everything God's ever done. So, when I think about the cost of grace, I want to say a couple of things before we get into the scripture. First of all, there is no free lunch. You hear people talk about free lunch? Somebody's paid for it. And there is no cheap grace. We hear grace presented today as an addendum to our lives. And if you need it, bank on it. If you don't need it, don't bank on it. But you can just kind of do your own thing. And if you mess up, you got grace. It's sort of like a relationship with a man and his wife. What kind of relationship would that be if he was married sometimes? But then when he didn't want to be, he won't. But then when he wanted to be, he was. And all that, you know all that. Hey, that's probably going around somewhere today, you know. But God's not like that. God is a constant God. And I want you to know, tremendous price was paid for you to know that you're right with him. And he don't base anything based on who you are. He bases everything on who he is. Because I don't care if you've been saved 50 years, 100 years, whatever. You don't have, I like what the brother said this morning. We don't have it all in ourselves. It's grace of God. You know, I can't be good enough to have his love. I can't do good enough to have his love. He knew that. He knew that because of the curse, that I didn't have what it took to live like I need to live. So he loved me enough to step in between me and judgment and say, I love you enough. I'm going to cover you with my blood as we celebrate every single Sunday. Thank God for that. Don't ever forget it. When you take that cup, thank God, Lord, I thank you for this blood because you cover me. You cover the multitude of sins in my life. God knows your struggle. And when you're struggling to be right, he knows that. Man, I want to do right. I want to go to church. I want to do these things. And I just mess up and all of a sudden my enthusiasm is gone. And I find myself dealing with my old past. And I find myself just kind of giving up. Churches today, there's people sitting home today that would love to be in church somewhere, but they're down on their self, they give up on their self, and they think God's give up on them. Let me just say this. Don't ever forget this. God never gives up on you. So Paul was like that. Paul was a guy, he was doing what he thought was right. He was killing Christians because he thought it was heresy. He thought that they were doing something wrong against the government and all this other stuff. And he was just messed up in his mind. The devil loves for us to get messed up in our mind. He loves for us to get messed up in our mind. Because if you're messed up in your mind, you can't think right. And when you can't think right, you don't reason right. And somebody's teaching all this religion that you got to look like this, and you got to walk like this, and you got to talk like this, and you got to wear this, and you got to do that. You know what blows me away about what you wear? Little side note here, a little commercial. When they went and got Jesus out of the garden, what did they do? Did they know him right to start with? Did they know who he was? He's the one over there that looks like he's sick and all this. You know, he's the one over there. No, he looked just like everybody else. Somebody had to kiss him for them to know, oh, that's Jesus. So I want you to know this morning. I don't know where God's going to carry us, but I know God's going to carry us somewhere with this series because he wants you to know I love you despite, in spite of you. Because you, me, is our biggest problems. Amen? Amen. Y'all mighty quiet this morning. I ain't done this in a long time. Y'all listening? Amen. So, Paul was just burning the roads up, killing people. Matter of fact, he's the one who held the garments while they stoned Stephen. You remember Stephen in the Bible, full of the Holy Ghost, powerful man of God? Paul was the dude who set all that up. He's over there holding their garments, but you know something, I got to believe, and I just feel, there's a strong anointing in this place today. I just feel when Stephen was standing there, or he started looking up to heaven and he started smiling and he started talking to God, that changed Paul, because Paul said, this man's got something I don't have, and I'm here killing all these people thinking I'm doing right. Let me tell you something. I love y'all coming to church. I love these 4,000 or 5,000 we have every Sunday. I love all that. In case y'all listen by radio, I love all that. I love all that. But that's not going to get you to heaven coming to church. I love you being here. Thank you. Bring somebody with you next Sunday. But I wish, you know, that's not going, we don't come to get saved. We come because he's in our heart, and I know that I need to learn more about it. That's what it's all about. So that's how, and so on the road to Damascus, Paul, a great light, I thought about that light when you were talking about this morning, a great light come on him, and you know the story, on the road to Damascus, he fell down on his face before Jesus, and he got himself right. And so from that moment, as hard as he worked against God, he started working for God. So God used him to write most of the New Testament. And one of his desires was always to go to Rome, because Rome was a very intellectual city. It was a city that was state of the art. I mean, it was a city that just had all the bells and whistles. And he said, if I can get to Rome and preach the gospel, it'll go farther than ever before. So, in this letter, I want to go to the book of Romans, chapter 6. We're going to read a couple things this morning, and then I want to talk about, start with today, the need of grace. The need of grace. Thank God for his anointing today. But Paul, he writes to the Romans because there was a dissension. You see, I want you to understand, the same thing that was going on in our day was going on in the day of Romans. They were a very intellectual city. They were an up city. They were GQ city. I mean, they had all the latest clothes. They had everything right. All the gadgets. They were the up city. You know, and so they had a lot of intelligence. And the intelligence was giving them other options other than God. And then the ones that were God information were telling them that you can't be saved unless you're circumcised. You can't be saved unless you do these rituals. You cannot be saved. I remember one occasion, this was awesome right here. I love, if you really want to get some good information, just start reading the Bible. It's got all kind of good stuff in there. On one occasion, there was a guy who got healed on the Sabbath day. Why do we have a Sabbath day? Because we worship God, and God is God of all the days. Amen. So this guy, he gets healed on the Sabbath day, on Sunday. And there was Pharisees over there who said, we ain't going to receive this. We ain't going to believe all this. And the guy was standing there, he could see. The man couldn't see, now he can see. And you're going to sit there and say, I don't believe that. Well, why don't you believe that? You see that, believe that. That's Wayne County. Why don't you believe that? Well, it won't done the right way. It won't done on Sunday. And the cat that got healed, calm down. I just want to say this. I don't know what you cats believe. I don't know all that you believe, but all I know is I was once blind, but now I can see. Amen. Glory to God. In other words, I got results. And so God is interested in results, whatever day it is. And he's a result-driven God. He's committed to give you results. And so Paul was getting information back from Rome saying, you know, we ain't going to believe this. And so Christians were persecuted. They were going through struggle because they were now beginning to doubt if they, you know, I wasn't circumcised, or this one wouldn't do this, and this one didn't go to the Sabbath and do all the rituals and all that, and, you know, I guess I'm not even saved. And Paul's mission, Paul had three tremendous missionary journeys, and his peril in life was to preach the gospel, justification by faith. You know what justification by faith means? You remember I told you last week Martin Luther was one of those who had the courage to take his theses. He come out of the Catholic Church and he was studying about God, and God gave him revelation, and he realized that we're not saved by works. We're not saved by what we do. We're saved by grace. We're saved because God loves me enough to give me salvation, and my salvation is not based on what I do or what I don't do. Isn't that awesome? I can't be good enough to be saved. And when he begins that relationship with me, you say, oh, you're one of them that you can just get saved and do anything you want to do. I don't think so. I don't think so, because when you really love your wife or really love your mate and you start loving them the way God wants you to love them, you're not going to want to try to find things against them. You're going to want to do what pleases them, right? And all men said, amen. Amen. You're going to do what pleases them because they're your intimate relationship with them. You and her, and you and him got that relationship that nobody else in the world's got. And Paul wanted these people to understand. So they were going through a hard time. And so he gave his life to preach justification by faith. Martin Luther, I told you last week, he wrote a thesis and he nailed it to the door of the cathedral. And he was telling them, God, we are justified by faith. And they got mad at him. Because if people can control you, let me tell you what happened. I love what our brother said this morning, Brother George said this morning, because they did want to kill Paul because they wanted to quieten him up. Now, why did they want to quieten him up? They wanted to quieten him up because he was messing up their business. And people had made religion a business. And church had become a business. And if you'll send me $20, I'll give you some water and you can sprinkle all over and you're going to be good. You know, that kind of thing. And I want you to know the God that we serve will touch you wherever you're at. He's a loving, wonderful God. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. And so, justification by faith. Well, you know what that means? Let me give you this. I got about another 45 minutes. Amen. Justified by faith. You know what that means? Just as if I had never sinned. Just as if I had never sinned. Do you know what Jesus did when he died on Calvary? It's more than an Easter show. It's more than all that. You know what that means? That means that he restored your relationship with God, which had been interrupted because of sin, because we serve a holy God and God cannot tolerate sin, but he loves the sinner and he loves you and me, and so he sent his son to be a propitiation, a covering, an in-between person to love us back into him. Is that awesome or what? So Paul, Martin Luther, and all the rest that believe God's word for what it says that we're justified by faith. Just as if I had never sinned. Have you ever gone to God and begin to pray and all of a sudden you hear these thoughts or these memories from years ago? Well, you remember how bad you used to be? You remember what you used to do? Has that ever happened to you when you went to pray? You remember how mean you used to be? Go ahead and admit it. Yeah. I remember. You know where that's coming from? That's not coming from God. I've told you this before. When God forgives you, he forgets. How can God forget? God knows everything. He chooses to forget. That's bad. That's a bad God. Amen. How many of y'all know we don't forget nothing? Amen. I'll forgive you, but I ain't going to forget it. Well, you ain't forgive them then. Well, that's another story. But God loves us enough that he restored us. I don't deserve that. I was born in this mess. And God knows that we were born into it. He knows that we had nothing to do with it. He knows that it was not our fault. And so he set this plan up that I'm going to redeem my people because I love them. When I created that Garden of Eden and I created Adam and Eve, I love them. And my love is unconditional no matter what has happened to them. You know what your problem is sometimes? My problem is sometimes? We can't accept somebody loving us like that. We always wonder what's their angle when they say, I love you, what you want. Is that real or what? Am I preaching real this morning? What you want? Because we're always used to not receiving. But you see, God's love and grace is unconditional. Now, in a way, don't even try to understand it because you can't. Because everything we're based on is condition. So the only thing I can do is carry to the Word because the Word doesn't lie. And so God shows us in His Word. I just want to read a couple of scriptures here. I got a lot of stuff to read to you, so you got to come back next week so that you can hear what God is speaking to us. But I want you to receive this so you won't be in such a struggle. Because your flesh is always going to fight you. Your flesh is nothing holy about your flesh. Hang on. There's nothing good about your flesh. You ever heard somebody say, well, I got in the flesh? I cussed them out in three foreign languages, but I got in the flesh. You know what I'm talking about? Every one of us know we just have problems. And church is not supposed to be that place that this is perfect people. And to come here, you've got to be perfect. There are some churches that make you feel that way. But Jesus never felt that way. If you want to find where Jesus was, and I guess I'm not going to get to my scripture today. So that means you got to come next week. But Jesus was the person, if you want to find him, he was a friend of sinners. You know what the Word says? He was a friend of sinners. In other words, well, why was he hanging out with them? It's my record now. I'm able to be proven wrong. But in studying the Bible, I only seen him in the temple once when he was a teenager. One time when he cleaned it out, you remember that? Jesus cleaned the temple out. So he didn't hang up in there because he knew the biggest confusion and the biggest problems and the biggest needs were the people that weren't in church. Church is not a place of perfection. Because if it is, I need to get on out of here. I'm not worried. I tell you all that all the time. I'm not worried to stand up here and say nothing because I don't have the goods, but God gave me the goods. He covered me by His blood. He prepared me and made me and gives me a heart to hear His Word. I hear Him and I want to bring you what He says because that's what you need to hear today. As you face this world that we live in, you don't need to hear what some preacher thinks. You don't need to hear some Reader's Digest story. You don't need to hear all that. You need to hear what God is saying to you because when you get out there in that world, you're going to face some real stuff this week. And I want you to understand the God that I serve is a real God. And I'll just read this scripture and then we'll go. I want to go to Romans chapter 5. And this will be for your study. I want you to study this week. And then you'll know where we're headed next week. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being, now the word therefore, every time you see that in the Bible, that is put there, translator puts that there to point emphasis on what's about to be said. In other words, I got a big announcement I'm getting ready to say. I really want you to get this. That's what therefore means. So it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the peace is what we need because we're struggling in our, are we righteous enough? Are we good enough? Have I prayed enough? All right. By whom also we have access. Now, that's the part I'm going to deal with that word next week. Verse 2. By whom we have access by faith. Because access is what we lost. When Adam and Eve done what they did, we lost God. But Jesus brought us back to God. So access, we're going to talk about that next week. By faith, into what? This grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope and the glory of God. Now, go to chapter 6. Give you some stuff to read for this week. Verse 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now there's the issue right there. There's a lot of people confused about their relationship with God, and they're still dealing with the sin in their lives. They're still dealing with all these problems. And there's one people that says, oh, just go ahead and do what you want to do. It's okay. You got grace, grace, grace. But that's cheap grace. Real grace covers us and gives us strength. Listen, grace is the power when you fall, not if you're going to fall. Grace is the power when you fall to pick you back up. I could ask you today how long you've been saved. I'd get a lot of years out of this place today. And I could ask you the next question is, how many times have you messed up? And I could get a lot of answers out of that. And the thing I would tell you, when you messed up, the devil would tell you, you don't have anything anyhow. You messed up. But it says there, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? That's the whole issue right there. He says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And then go on down to verse 15. We're going to talk about all this next week because we're going to talk about the need of grace. That's what you need to understand. Why was grace even originated? Why did God even give us grace? Why do we need grace? So it says here, verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. It goes back to saying, well, I don't have to go to church to be saved. I can do anything I want to do and still be saved. But if God leaves you, how many of you know coming to church is important because you gain strength? I get strength every Sunday because we get to be with people we love, our family, and we get to hear the word taught to us. I love hearing the word preached. I love that. I love what Northview stands for. In this day when nobody has identity anymore, we still have an identity. And that identity is we still stand on the word. And when you go through things in life, you're going to find out. You may not have found out yet. But let this old man tell you, you're going to find out there's going to come times you're going to need the word to carry you through. And I'm so glad that our forefathers who fought in this place to build a building and to fight to keep it going, when the attendance was up and the attendance was down, it looked like we were going to fall in, they still fought to keep it going because it is a symbol of the word of God. You won't get a lot when you come here compared to a lot of places, but you will get the word of God. Not to say they don't give the word of God. I'm not saying that. There's great preachers all over this town. Great churches all over this town. That's why I count such an honor for you to be here, because you could go anywhere to a great church and a great preacher. But I thank you for coming. But God wants us to understand, and I got so much more to give you, but I just got to close right here. Have you received anything from this morning? I pray that God will speak to your heart. At least if she'll come, we're going to close with a song, a beautiful song. Would you stand to your feet? Turn to page 250. And as we sing this song this morning, I want you to know this altar is always open. If you feel a need to pray, if you want somebody to pray with you, if you feel that you've been lied to by the enemy and you've been struggling in your life and you just need some encouragement, I want you to know this altar is open for you. Verse 1, I know who holds tomorrow. Beautiful song. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I'll walk beside him, for he knows. Amen. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Sing verse 3. I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds a sparrow, amen, is the one who's there. That's the truth. And the path that be my portion may be through the flame or flood, but his presence goes before me, amen, and I'm covered by the blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Heavenly Father, we've been obedient to your word this morning. We've been obedient to your direction today. And Father, we have shared the word that you have put on our heart. And God, we thank you for such a word as this that tells us, Lord, that you paid a tremendous price for us to be free. It is not your will that we live in bondage, the bondage of religion or the bondage of doing everything right, because we know in our heart we can't do that. But God, we thank you for being a God that rests upon us and helps us and shows us the way. God, I pray that you'll stir every person's heart here today. And Lord, let them know that you love them. No matter what their past is, no matter what their present is, no matter what the future is, Lord, you love them just like with unconditional love. And God, you're willing to walk with them through whatever valley they go through. You're willing to help them through whatever problem, through whatever pain. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The cost of grace. Keep us in your prayers this week. Hallelujah.